Now in Genesis 29, it's a very long reading and it's really too long once we get into it to put it on the screen. So I highly recommend you have a Bible in your hand, which means leaping out of your seat like a gazelle at this point and grabbing a Bible from the back and opening it with me in Genesis chapter 29 so you can sort of follow the story. I'm going to stick pretty much to that passage as we go right through it. That's absolutely great. Thank you. Genesis 29 in verses 1 to 30. Follow Jacob. He's met with God on his way to his uncle Laban's terrain, his household. He's met with God. He's had an encounter with God and he still really doesn't get the message at all. He's got a lot to learn yet and it's about to go. Let's say life is about to become interesting for Jacob. So Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" "Oh, yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" "Yes, he is," they said. "And he comes, and here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep." "Look," he said, "that the sun is still high. It is not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture." "Oh, we can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And when Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Gallantry, you see, last of the gentlemen. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger one was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes. I have no idea what that means. Neither does any commentator writer on the planet, so don't ask me, okay? But Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob, in case you hadn't guessed, was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." Now, this is the big ah moment, okay? This is one of the big ah moments of the Bible, so get ready to say ah. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Altogether, ah, that's good, thank you. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to lie with her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. And when morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of..." Yes, you're laughing. You're supposed to laugh. You really are supposed to laugh. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. And Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. And we have another scene at the well. Can you cast your mind back a month or so? Oh, about 6 weeks, 2 months now. When Jacob's mother also came to the well with her sheep. And there she met Abraham's servant, who'd been sent on a mission to find a wife for Isaac's son. It was a very different meeting. Proactive Rebecca immediately takes control. In this case, Rebecca, Jacob's mother, she was a controlling kind. So she immediately took control of the situation and watered the camels and did everything, sort of helped out. And then the servant recognized that who she was, that she was in fact the niece of Abraham. And so he brings out the bling. And he brings out gold bracelets and jewelry and a nice nose ring or nose stud or something. I don't know what he's pushing this on to her, and she's enjoying this. And then, of course, he uses the word, the good word, the S word, servant. "My master has many servants." And she suddenly hears servants. Someone else to look after the sheep. So she's liking this, you know. She's enjoying this. And so he proposes that she go home with him and marry Isaac. And it's a no-brainer. It's either stay here and look after the sheep, or go there and have nice jewelry and clothes and servants look after the sheep. It's a non-starter. She never even sort of waver. And off she goes. So we have another scene at the well. And the same kind of thing happens. And Jacob innocently asks, "Does anyone know Laban?" And they say, "Oh yeah, oh, here comes his daughter." You didn't laugh at that point, but you're supposed to laugh at that point. You know, it just happened. "Oh, and by the way, here comes his daughter." Oh, yes. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? Except the difference here is that Jacob has nothing. Abraham's servant had camels or pack horses, donkeys, I don't know what, and jewelry and had loads. And Jacob has pitched up with nothing. He's run away. He's hundreds of miles away from the sharp end of his brother's hunting knife. So he's run away. He's got nothing. He had nothing to offer. But God has to take control. This situation is not great, is it? I mean, it's not been good so far. And I kept telling you, God can take control of this mess, and he has to again. He has no dowry to give, nothing to give. But God says, "No problem. You wanted to do it this way, Jacob. So if you want to do it the hard way, you're going to do it the hard way. Right? You got yourself into this mess. You're just going to have to see it through to the end." Rachel is young, she's very attractive, she's a lovely mixture of competence and helplessness that Jacob finds irresistible. His knees have gone weak. One glance at her and his hormones are boiling. And there's nothing to give her, but he will move the stone. It wasn't time yet, he ignores local custom, But the least he can do is move the stone. It must have been quite a large stone. I guess he must have been a strapping young man. Maybe he hadn't stayed at home all the time crocheting blankets for his pet kitten. I don't know. Hadn't quite been quite the stay-at-home boy you might have thought. But he's mummy's boy still, and he's out of his depth. He doesn't know how out of his depth he is. Having to think for himself for the first time in his life. No longer has he got controlling Rebecca to make all the decisions for him. But God's in control, mercifully. God's in control. And God's in control of our life. And thank God he's in control of our life when we're teenagers as well. I wonder how I survived teenage, but God was in control. God was in control. And I survived childhood and teenage, which was remarkable considering my lack of wisdom. God's blessing continues. Jacob isn't very good at this, really. Okay, he wants to make an impression. He's watered the sheep, tells her they're related, and now he kisses her. And you think, maybe a bunch of flowers and the candlelight balti might have been better. But anyway, he kisses her, and then poor Rachel, having been kissed by a complete stranger who says he's a cousin, now she has to stand open-mouthed while he bursts into tears. I just want to say, guys, on your first date, try and avoid bursting into tears. Generally speaking, I mean, you know, women like to know you've got a feminine side, but not that close to the surface, you know? There he is. No bling, no presents, no servants. Just a dusty, stone-moving, kissing, crying weirdo. So she does the only thing she can. She runs to her father and tells him about it. Jacob really is portrayed as an object of fun in this story. I mean, you're supposed to have fun with the story. We're supposed to laugh. He's going to grow up eventually. And he's going to become a man of God eventually. But it's going to take a long time. And then Laban. Oh, I hope you kept your eye on Laban. You know, wasn't it just great when Rebecca, Jacob's mum, said, "You go to my brother Laban. He'll look after you." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He will. He will. Twist. If there's a twister on the planet, it's Jacob. But if there's a bigger twister, it's Laban. And if Jacob has a GCSE in twisting, Laban has a PhD, and he knows all about it. Laban looks at him, calculates very quickly that he's genuine and very, very naive. And at this point, you know, Laban's eyes are going, nephew equals free labor. Ka-ching! Oh, yes! Somebody to do the dirty work. Absolutely free of charge. This is good. I don't have to pay him. Just feed him. He's a nephew. Look, can I just say that God's blessing is on Jacob despite everything he's done? He's the inheritor of the promise God made to his grandfather Abraham. But to be blessed by God does not equal happy ever after, okay? You know, it doesn't mean life's going to be easy. And it's going to get very, very, very hard for Jacob for the next 14 years or so, next 20 years. Jacob has no bargaining power. He's fallen head over heels in love with Rachel. He hasn't even noticed Leah. And all he can do is make himself useful around the home. I'll even look after your sheep for you, Uncle Laban. Oh, yes, you will. Laban, of course, has noted that Jacob cannot take his eyes off Rachel. He's done nothing but stare at that girl for the last 30 days. And Jacob, you know, he's not bad looking. He can move stones, look after sheep, help round the house, crochet blankets for your kittens. And he even cries. He's so sweet. And Rachel's fallen for him, but so is Leah, her sister. The two sisters are in love with him, but Jacob hasn't noticed Leah. Anyway, after a month, Laban makes his move. Leave it longer and Jacob might lose interest, or he might be seduced by one of the slave girls or something. No, a month is about right. He's still passionately in love with Rachel. And so he says, what are your wages? And Jacob says, I'll work for you 7 years free of charge if you let me marry your daughter. And I'm thinking 7 years? Come on, you could have probably got away with 3 there, you know, or started at 3 and maybe negotiated up to 4.5. But 7 years? Laban is laughing like a drain, you know. Well, okay. For Laban, it's a good deal. First, Laban, the daughters are a problem. I mean, Laban only wants sons. The daughters he can live without, quite honestly. You know, you've got to get them married off, and that's a bit of a hassle. And then they bring men, either husbands into families, and their husband will probably be from another tribe or something, and that causes problems. Girls are a problem. He only wants men, really, Laban. He's a man's man. He wants men. So, you know, wait a minute, this is a good deal. Get rid of one of the girls, marry her into somebody who's in the family, so all the inheritance stays in the family. This is sounding good. Laban is not going to turn this one down. So, of course, the only problem is he's still left with Leah. He's got 7 years to work on that one. So, yeah, you can have Rachel. And so it happens. And the whole time, Laban's trying to find a husband for Leah, but he's noticed that Leah is in love with Jacob. No question about it. She's fallen big time for her sister's boyfriend. It's a mess. Isn't it a mess? I mean, you're looking at this and you're saying, how's this going to work, God? You know? I mean, how is this? This family is so dysfunctional, it's just not true. But God's going to resolve this one too. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to be happy, by the way. There's a lot of sadness, a lot of tears. But out of this is going to come something remarkable. Laban invites everyone to the wedding party, of course. Plies Jacob with enough drink to make sure, make him a little bit tipsy and not too discerning, but not too much so that he doesn't fall down, you know. And then at the last minute, he does the switch. It's dark, night has come, and the women are veiled anyway. He switches Leah. Now, you know, there are questions you ask. How much of a choice did Leah have? Was she coerced into it by her father, or did she willingly go along with the plan? But the fact that she's in love with Jacob and remained in love with Jacob, and the fact that I guess she could have told, but no, she puts her sister's perfume on and maybe tries to imitate her sister's voice, slips into the tent at night with Jacob. And we get that wonderful Bible. This passage is full of these wonderful phrases, you know. And in the morning, there was Leah. he thinks he's gone to bed with Rachel. In the morning, it's Leah. What? What has happened here? Did Rachel go along with it? Did she agree to it? Or was she kidnapped with a hand over her mouth and dragged off at the last minute while the substitute was put in? We don't know. We don't know how complicit Rachel was. Possibly, seeing how controlling and how frightening Laban is, she probably agreed to it. But we don't know. The result is another 7 years hard labor. You know? The first 7 went quickly because he was so in love with Rachel. It doesn't say the same about the second 7 year. By this time it's beginning to drag. And I don't know about you, I'm thinking this is not how it was supposed to be, you know? The promise of God has been given to Abraham that the whole of the human race will be blessed in him, that his descendants will be like the sand on the seashore, that the nations of the world will bless God because of Abraham. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, you expect the odd sort of storm on the way, but this is a soap opera, you know? This is Coronation Street, Poblacum and East End is all mixed up together and worse. Jacob is going to inherit the blessing, but he's going to have to change along the way. That's the truth. He's going to have to change. He's met with God, and it hasn't done a lot of good. He's going to have to grow up over these coming years. In fact, it's going to turn to 20 years. He's going to have to grow up. He's going to have to learn how to walk with God. I think he gets there in the end, before he has one final overpowering encounter with God. But my word, he's got a lot of problems to deal with beforehand. Hebrews 12, verses 7 to 11. Just put that one on the screen very briefly. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. So what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you go down to the end of that passage, verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In the end, Jacob is now married to Leah and to Rachel. As the wedding ceremony says, for better or for worse. He's being disciplined by God. He's struggling. It might have been different. He's still the lowest in the family, because he's only married to the daughters. He's not like he was a son. You know what I mean? He's only married to the girls. They don't count in that society. I'm sorry, but they didn't. I'm not saying that's right. They just didn't, you know? And you know that's not right. And you know that the way they're going to be treated is wrong. And you just know that Laban is going to create havoc. You just know that there's no easy way around Laban. He's always going to get himself out on top. And Jacob signed up for 14 years with this guy. Yeah? How's it going to happen? Don't know if you've ever taken a wrong decision, how much pain it caused you to work it through. Don't know. You know, there are times you end up, God lets you doing it your own way. And it goes wrong, and you learn to do it God's way. Some years ago, a young man sat in my office, and he said, Peter, how can I become a Christian? And I told him. And he was furious at me. He stormed out. Well, he didn't quite storm out, but he left quite quickly. And he spent the next 3 years avoiding me, because I hadn't told him what he wanted to know. He knew what the way he was living was wrong. And he just wanted a word from me that would be okay. And though I didn't know the details, I just pointed enough about the necessity to commit your life to Jesus and do things in his way. Anyway, for 3 years he avoided me. And for 3 years he did it his own way. And for 3 years everything went wrong. At the end of 3 years, when all kinds of things had gone wrong and things were just a mess, he came back to Penracht, and he appeared. He's sitting in the balcony the first Sunday back, and short story, we baptized him. He became a Christian. We baptized him, and he said to me after, he said, Peter, you know, I spent 3 years trying to prove that my way was the right way. And it wasn't. It was only when I admitted that I needed to do it God's way that my life began to come together again. So hardship falls on Jacob. It's his own fault, and God lets it happen because God has a plan for him at the end of it. And all I can say is, if you're going through a hard time and it's your own fault, God will help you through it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But the discipline will do you good at the end, as we shall see with Jacob. Let's bow our heads and pray. The band, please, can join me on the platform. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, we have often been like Jacob, impetuous, naive, doing it our own way, making bargains with you, until we learn that you are the Lord, you are the sovereign, you are the one in control. So we ask you, Father, to lead us through the hard times. Help us through our bad decisions. And give us the grace to learn to walk with you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.